Blog Talk Radio.
Now we're live. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Monday, August 27th of 2018. I'm your host for this evening, the Miracle Man. Preacher Man, he might call tonight. He might not call in tonight. Never know. But it's always a blessing when Preacher Man decides to call in and be our guest. It's always a blessing. He always has encouragement for me as well as for you, my listeners. And it's always good when he calls in. But, for at least right now, for this minute, you're stuck with me. I don't mean stuck in a bad way either. Oh, no. Because I'm awesome. Well, there's now 1 week to go until Labor Day. Exactly 1 week. And everyone who loves summer, like I do, said, Oh. I know, but the good news is at least the temperatures don't suddenly drop into the 30s or 20s or single digits overnight. It's a process, but still happens. Fall cometh. I gotta say, I wish that astronomically that they could agree with meteorology. Only, I guess I can see why they can't, because when you look at it, here's something to think about, folks. Well, so, you know, we have our solstices, winter and summer, and then we have our equinoxes. Spring equinox in March, autumn equinox in September. And meteorologically, they'll tell you that seasons will start generally on like the first of a certain month. For example, they will tell you that summer is June to August. They'll tell you that autumn is September to November. Winter is December to February. And then they will tell you that spring is March to May. Of course, one thing we need to look at is that for each state, the true so-called date, the true date in which the transition takes place, whether it's, in the case of summer, the warmer weather starts coming, like hotter weather, in the case of fall, the leaves starting to change color in fall, that those dates are not always the same every year, everywhere. The only reason they'll give dates is to try to estimate. So that doesn't mean that the day after Labor Day, the temperature is suddenly going to drop. But it's the unofficial end of summer. So you can take that for a grain of salt. Now, bit of what I've been up to. Well, this past weekend, on Saturday, I went to an event at Great Lakes Crossing Outlets called the Back to School Bash. So it was supposed to be for kids for back to school and stuff. However, I got to shake hands with and got hugged by the Pistons mascot, Hooper, and the Tigers mascot, Paws. In addition, I got a Great Lakes Crossing water bottle and a bag that contained some coupons from some of the many great stores at Great Lakes Crossing Outlets. Now, obviously, of course, those mascots didn't talk to me because mascots aren't supposed to talk. Hooper, as well as Tigers mascot, Paws. It was cool to get to see both of those mascots like that. And it was a cool atmosphere. It was right there in the food court of Great Lakes Crossing Outlets. So that made it a lot of fun, to be honest with you. Really did. I must remind you that Coca-Cola is in fact the best soft drink on earth. There's a reason why it's the most drink soft drink in this country, especially the classic flavors, the most drink. But when I talk about the Coke and Pepsi thing, or Coke versus Dr. Pepper, I look at it as I include regular Coke, Cherry Coke, and Vanilla Coke as part of that. When you put those three together, it's totally the most drink, soft drink in America. Because if I were to compare Coke to Pepsi, the amount of choices they have, I couldn't include Mountain Dew necessarily because it's not one of the colas. But when you look at Coke versus Dr. Pepper, my Coke wins every time. Preacher Man, if you're listening, my Coke wins every time. It does. I know you're going to jab me, but that's why I just jabbed you. Coke wins every time. Dr. Pepper, sometimes it comes a little close. It does taste good, you know. It tastes good. Occasionally I'll drink one here and there. But Coke still is the winner. It still comes out the winner. Okay? Still does. Now, got a lot of things to get to tonight. We're going to read from Joshua tonight, as well as Hebrews 11, as we always do. I want to go to Joshua 12 tonight. Joshua 12. And then Hebrews 11 and the first two verses of Hebrews 12. And I'm going to exhort. Then I have a lot of sports to get to tonight. Here's what my sports plan was for tonight. We're going to talk some high school football. Midland and Dow both played this weekend. I'll let you know what happened. Also, Lions played this weekend, so I'll let you know what happened there. Also, a look at Michigan. On Monday night and Wednesday night of this week, I figured as part of Football Central, I would do a college football preview as part of it. So tonight, it's going to be Michigan Monday. Wednesday night, we'll preview Michigan State. But tonight, we're going to review the Maize and Blue. I promise to be unbiased when I do it. I will not be biased. I will not claim to be a Wolverine or a Spartan. No, I will not. Just like I talk about Millen and Bow High, I don't claim to be biased. I just support sports and talk sports together on the show. One very sad bit of sports news. This is the only time I'll talk about it tonight. I'm not going to talk about it later in sports. That is that the press box at Midland Community Stadium caught fire as part of some very heavy, extremely heavy thunderstorms in the middle of the night last night around 12:30 a.m. We had a huge, wild thunderstorm roll through town. And we had a power surge ended up going through Midland Community Stadium press box and did some significant damage. It totally burnt one of the staircases going upstairs. There's a certain area where there's two levels, and it totally burnt up the stairs going upstairs. And it also did some stuff to the exterior wall of the press box. So it's going to need some work. We don't know when it'll be able to be used again. The Midland game versus Flint, Crum, and Ainsworth that was scheduled to be played at Midland Community Stadium will now be played on Thursday evening in Flint. No, in Midland at Northwood Hant Stadium with a 5 p.m. start. So that's what's going on there. I'll bring up Midland Community Stadium again when I talk about a game that happened last weekend, but I'm not going to bring up the fire, the press box, because that is just sad. Yeah. I try to be a bit more positive on this program, but just letting y'all know that Midland Community Stadium will be out for, at the very least, 1 week. Extreme least. Quite honestly, I could see it being out for 4 or 5 weeks. A lot of the electrical, I understand, has been damaged. We're going to receive more updates. The only way I'm going to talk any more about this is when and if I receive further updates. It won't be tonight, though, that I do it. Maybe tomorrow or Wednesday as we learn more, because I want to learn more. Because to me, that stadium it's just special. It's a special place to be to me. I went to Midland High School. I love the band a lot. Those of you who remember me from last year, talked about that a little bit. Midland football, I do love it. I went to Midland High. And the band is awesome. Both districts, I mean, both bands in the district are awesome, but I am a bit more biased towards Midland High when it comes to the band music department because I went to Midland High. As for whether I'm more biased towards Midland or Dow when it comes to the football being played, we're not going to talk about that on this program because I don't want to act biased. Yeah. When I talk about these games, I really do try to be fair. I really do. But I have lots of great memories. And here's what I really hope. I did not get into the stadium this year, but I got really close. Who's the special kid that's here? But my hope is that stadium will be functioning by the time the Midland versus Dow game comes, because for fan seating, that's the biggest stadium we got in this town. And like I said, it means a lot. And the games at Northwood, it won't be the same because at Midland High, for example, one aspect to me that would make it really different is that the band, for example, will march in. The band will go like from the band room down to the stadium, march in, and then they'll do that again at the end of a game. And I think that is real cool. And when the weather's nice, I like walking to the games from my house. And at the end of it, try to see from how far away I can hear the band. Several different games this past year, I almost followed the band in. Almost. Got kind of close to that. That was kind of special. They're going to be at Northwood for a few games. I really hope they get to march in still. Do you think they'll still march into Northwood Stadium, at least if they're there? Do you bet they'll still get to? Even though they might not get to go across campus necessarily, because that's just one of the things. And also, with it being at Northwood, I don't know what that'll do to the popcorn or the soda, because I've always felt like Midland Stadium, like the popcorn there was special. I really do. Plus, I knew some of the people who worked the concession and stuff. I don't know how it's going to be. When I was first told about this by someone, I tried to laugh it off, trying to think they were trying to get me going and get me laughing. Because at one time, someone told me some stuff about like a certain place is closed and that. This was when I was like late elementary, early middle school. Because at the time, I used to take everything serious. I wouldn't really laugh that much when stuff was funny, unlike now. So I thought they were doing that to get me going this time. And I said, well, I'm going to investigate this. Unfortunately, when I went online to investigate, right then, I found out that it was real, that it had actually happened. And I realized it is nothing to laugh at. It is absolutely nothing to laugh at. To me, as a fan, as I said, that stadium is special. Here's what's cool about this. I think they'll probably be able to get a special. I mean, I think they're going to be able to get a new sound system in that press box, and hopefully a new stadium announcer who's good and loud and loves football and really knows how to get people going. That's my hope. I'll have to see what happens. Let me just see how we're doing on time. Okay. I'm going to do the real brief explanation. I'm going to give the telephone number and let you know what we can talk about, Matt. And then we are going to pray. We are going to open the Word of God. Do you have a line on your phone that you can set for 7:25? Because that's when I want to launch my football thing. Because remember, I'm doing that new thing with my show.
Yep.
So can you set an alarm?
25?
Yep. And make it so that, like, I would hear it. So I'm sorry about that, folks. I'm just going to have an alarm set for a certain time. So we're going to get going. So we basically got 30 minutes. Now, for those of you who have been listening to the show for a very long time, this is nothing new. For those of you who are new to the show, I'm going to do the really short version. What you can tell people is to go to blogtalkradio.com, all one word. In the search box, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. After that, you'll see a link that says Living Large. And we want you to click on that, please. That'll get you on the channel. Then we want you to hit the like button. When you hit that follow button, you're going to get notified when we get ready to do our show. For example, tomorrow night, we're going to do another show. Wednesday night, we're going to do another show, as part of which football fans will be another Football Central, in which we're going to, I won't say what I will do Wednesday night, because I want you to listen to the show. And if I tell you everything tonight, you might not listen. So, but, yeah, it's awesome. Please hit that follow button. And we always say it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. And I really mean it when I say that. Also, we have a telephone number that you can call in at and talk to me. And we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. Football, faith, and God. We can talk about the weather, summer, anything you want to, but politics. If you want to talk politics, we're just going to tell you to pray over your leaders that have authority over us. Now, the telephone number that you can call if you want to get a hold of me, talk to me, is area code 215-383-3255. 3810. Once again, the telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. When you hear the prompt that says press 1 to call into the live show, you'll want to press 1. And then what's going to happen is you're going to go through a call screener. My assistant, Jenny, sitting over here will let me know we got a caller. Then I'm going to let you on. And we'll have a good night and take some good calls, hopefully. Now, with that, we're going to pray. And then we're going to get into the Word of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for these listeners who have chosen to listen to this program, wherever they are. I thank you that they will be touched by this, and that they are ready to receive what you have to say, Jesus. And I thank you that you speak to them through me. Thank you that they're going to be taught the Word of God. They're going to receive the incorruptible, indestructible Word of God. I thank you that their hearts are alert, their minds are alert, and their hearts are receptive. Amen. And I thank you, Lord God, you use me as an oracle tonight. And Lord, I hereby confess that increase in audience, finances, new equipment, and sponsors and partners are all coming to the show. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open up our Bibles. If you've got a Bible with you, let's go to Joshua chapter 12. Joshua chapter 12. Joshua chapter 12. Amen. Just turning in my Bible. I made a mistake. Actually, 13. 13. Joshua 13 is where we're going tonight. We're going to begin with verse 1. I'm going to begin reading. I want you to catch up to me. Amen. When Joshua was old and was well advanced in years, the Lord said to him, "You are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. This is the land that remains. All of the regions of the Philistines and Israelites from the Shihor River on the east of Egypt to the territory of Kiron on the north. All of it counted as Canaanite by the territory of the five Philistine rulers in Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, with their Arites from the south all the land of the Canaanites from Arah of the Sidonites as far as Aphek, the region of the Amorites, the area of the Gibeonites, and all Lebanon to the east, from Baal, God below. Just turn the page. Below Mount Hermon to Libo Hamath. As for all of the inhabitants of the mountain regions, from Lebanon to Mespedos, Ma'am, that is all of the Sidonites, I myself will drive them out before the Israelites. Be sure to allocate this land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have instructed you, and divide it as an inheritance among the 9 tribes and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Verse 8. The other half of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites, had received the inheritance that Moses had given them east of the Jordan, as he, the servant of the Lord, had assigned it to them. It extended from Aaron on the rim of the Arnon Gorge and from the town in the middle of the gorge, and included the whole plateau of Meriba as far as Debon, and all of the towns of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who ruled in Geshbon, out to the border of the Amorites. It also included Gilead, to the territory of the people of Geshur and Machah, all of Mount Hermon, and all Bashan as far as Salaka, that is, the whole kingdom of Og in Bashan, who had reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei, and had survived as one of the last of the Perphonites. And Moses had defeated them and had taken over their land. But the Israelites did not drive out the people of Geshur and Machah. So they continue to live among the Israelites to this day. But to the tribe of Levi, he gave no inheritance, since the offerings made by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he promised them. This is what Moses had given to the tribe of Reuben, clan by clan. The territory from Aroer on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, and from the town in the middle of the gorge, and the whole plateau past Medeb, Heshbon, and all of its towns on the plateau, including Debon, Bamoth, Baal, Beth Baal, Maon, Jahaz, Kiramoth, Merfoth, Kiranoth, Sibuah, Zeroth, Shimar on the hill in the valley, Beth Peor, the slopes of Winnegar, Yanbeth, Yerushalayim, all of the towns on the plateau, and the entire realm, turn the page here, of Sidon, king of the Amorites, who ruled at Heshbon. Moses had defeated him and the Midianite chiefs, Evi, Rechem, Or, Hur, and Reba, princes allied of Sidon, who lived in that country. In addition to those slain in battle, the Israelites had put to the sword Balaam, son of Beor, who practiced divination. The boundary of the Reubenites in the book of the, in the bank of the Jordan, their towns and their villages were the inheritance of the Reubenites, clan by clan. This is what Moses had given to the tribe of Gad, clan by clan. The territory of Gaza, all the towns of Gilead, and half of the Amorite country, as far as Aroer near Haba, and from Heshbon to Ramah Mizpah and Beersheba, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Debor, and in the valley Beth Haram, Beth Nimrod, Sukkot, and Zephon, with the rest of the realm of Sihon, king of Heshbon, to the east side of the Jordan. The territory up to the end of the sea of Kinnereth, their towns and their villages were the inheritance of the Gadites, clan by clan. This is what Moses had given to the half-tribe of Manasseh, that is, half the family of the descendants of Manasseh, clan by clan. The territory extending from Mahanaim and including all of Bashan, the entire realm of Og, king of Bashan, all of the settlements of Gav in Bashan, 60 towns, half of Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, to the royal cities of Og and Bashan. This was for the descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, and half the towns of Nekev, clan by clan. This is the inheritance Moses had given when he was in the plains of Moab, across the Jordan, east of Jericho. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, as he promised them. All right, we're going to quick go to Hebrews 11. Real quick, like. I'm just drinking my throat. We're going to Hebrews 11. I'm going to look at some faith verses. All right. And from. I have found it. So now I will begin reading. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man, and what God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. Pause. We've all been at that place. I'm not talking about when you're lost in a building or lost on a road or lost in a mall or something where you don't remember where you're at in the building or on the road or whatever. But I'm talking about in the case of life. You might not know where you're heading. By faith, we're gonna read that part again. The way to receive is in here. He obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. He obeyed God, even though he didn't know where he was going. We don't always know where we're going. We don't. I'm not talking about on the road. I'm talking about in life. Might not know where God's taking us, but we'll find out with the help of God. I'm going to continue going. Read it. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, just like Isaac and Jacob did. There were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Himself from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them. And they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who are saying such things show that they are looking forward for a country of their own. If they had not been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Just look. A heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop right there, but I am going to exhort you for a few minutes on that right there. Now, some of us, we go through life, you're a young person, you're listening to the show, you're going to college, some of you might not know yet what you want to be, you're just taking general ed classes, some electives are on the way possibly, and then somehow, hopefully, you figure out what you want to be, or you pray to God about it, hopefully. Well, sometimes that's how it can be when we're just at this place in life where we're just lost. We may not know where we always go. We might know or we might not know. We're just lost. Well, Abraham, he obeyed God, even though he was lost. He obeyed God, even though he did not know he was where he was going. He just went, and he obeyed God. He just obeyed God. He didn't bother to ask, you know, where am I, God? Where are you, God? I'm lost. He obeyed God. Well, if you don't know God and you're lost, you can find God right where you are right now. You can save your soul, and you won't have to be lost again. You don't have to be lost. You can be found through God, and He'll help you as you go through life. He really will, and He really wants to. Because he loves you very much, and he cares about you more than you could ever realize. He really does care about you. He really does, and he wants you to accept him as your Lord and Savior. He really does. And if you're lost, talk to God. Many of us have been there. We don't know if what we're doing is working or not. Just go to God. Just turn to Jesus. He will show you the way. Because, let's face it, Jesus said, I am, quote, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. That's powerful. What it said there. And, you know, Jesus made things so simple. And, you know, those letters in your Bible, they're red. And when they're red, it means the red ink, Jesus speaking. And you got to pay attention to these red letters because that's very important. It really is. And by faith, you know, Adam obeyed. What are you going to do if you're in a similar place? Are you going to keep wandering? Are you going to wander and say, I don't know if I can do that, God, I'm lost? Or are you just going to obey? Because it's like you're lost on a certain road or something. Your next thing will be, how do I get back on track? You know, back in the day, you would have stopped at the gas station or something and asked a random person for directions. Now you just look at your GPS, your Garmin. Me and my mom, one time we were on a trip and we decided to call it Garbadia because sometimes it was telling us routes that didn't make a lick of sense. I'm sure you've been there, Jenny, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. See, exactly. You just heard it. Sometimes you won't have a lick idea where you're going. And so that's why I said, called it Garbadia. It's like garbage. The roots sometimes don't make sense. All right, we're going to pray. We're going to pray in closing, and then the alarm's going to go off, and then time to get to sports. Lord Jesus, I thank you this evening for this word. I thank you, Lord God, that we would all just obey God. Even if we're in that place where we're lost, we don't know where we're going, we don't know why we're doing it, we're just doing it. I pray, Lord God, that we would just always obey you, even in this case. And I just pray every one of us will just get this word in our heart, and we'll just realize we don't always have to know where we're going. We don't. We can obey you. We can love you. And I love you, Jesus, very much. Lord, I take a minute right now to pray over any soul, over for souls. I claim that people on the show will give their lives to you. They would call me. They'll let me know. I want to give my life to Christ. What do I do? And I'm going to tell them what they got to do. And I claim that these people will do it. And they will live for you with everything they have. All their heart, all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength. And they'll just live for you and love you with everything that they have. In Jesus' matchless name, everybody said, amen. All right. My alarm has went off. So, hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to Football Central here on Monday night, August 27th. And I'm your host for this, the Miracle Man. I'm going to outline for you what we're going to discuss before we get to the material. I have Midland High Comic Football tonight to discuss and what happened at that game up in Traverse City. I have Dow High Football at home. That was versus Grand Blanc. I also have, for this evening, Michigan football preview and prediction for this week. Wednesday night, I'm going to do Michigan State preview and prediction for the season. And then, of course, the other thing I will do Wednesday night on Football Central is I will predict the Michigan game, the Michigan State game, the Midland High game, and the Dow High game. All right. Now, I'm going to begin by talking about Midland High School football, starting with the Chemics. So Thursday night, Midland went up to Traverse City to take on the Titans of Traverse City West High School up at Zorby Field. Midland, they were down for a while by a bit. They came back, made it interesting. But thanks to miscues and two consecutive failed extra point and then a missed two-point conversion, they were not able to win the ballgame. They had to settle for a 17-15 loss. Like I said, this has been Traverse City. Quarterback did great. He was a good running quarterback. The really big, important touchdown that put him partially back in it was a 60-plus yard touchdown pass to Cam Formsma. And he got it in there. But the extra point failed. Then later on, only a few minutes left to go in the game, Midland had another touchdown, but this time the two-point conversion failed. Had they gotten the extra point and the two-point conversion, they would have won that game 18-17. But according to Coach Eric Mettner, they had miscues on offense, some miscues on defense, although for most of the games, the defenses were what really controlled the game. I know this because I was listening to a good portion of it after I got out of church service on Thursday evening. And I was en route to Midland High School to see what was going on with the Dow Grand Blanc game. Which leads me to the Dow Grand Blanc game. Also on Thursday night, Dow Chargers taking on the Grand Blanc Bobcats at Midland Community Stadium. And at first, it looked very, very, very ugly for Dow. At one point, Dow was down 17-0. The quarterback, Shane Estrike, had already thrown two interceptions. He actually ended up throwing five interceptions after only throwing like three last year. we need to keep in mind last year that there was another quarterback, so they used a dual quarterbacking system. This year they don't have that luxury. But he threw 5 interceptions in a game. That is quite rough, if you ask me. And let me tell you, you are not going to win very many football games if you throw 4 interceptions or more. I should say 3 or more, but maybe sometimes at high school, maybe college, you could win a couple with 3 interceptions. In the NFL, not so much. A lot of times in the NFL, you get benched after you throw like 3 or 4 picks. You'll get benched. But they left a strike in there. And when I got out there to the stadium, it was 25-13 Grand Blanc. And I was getting out of my car. We got up to the gate. You could hear him to see what was all going on. Grand Blanc kicked a 30-plus yard field goal to make it 28-13 Grand Blanc. But Dow wasn't done. Kick off to Dow. Very next play, Dow catches a huge pass from a strike. A receiver catches it in the end zone, 70-plus yards downfield. Immediately, after made extra point, 28-20. I mean, yeah, 28-20. And you're thinking, okay, now Dow's in the football game. Dow's back in it. Then Dow gets another, and then Grand Blanc gets another score. So then it's 35-20. Dow gets another touchdown and another touchdown. One with an extra point good, another with a 2-point conversion good. Then it's tied 35-35. And we're thinking, hey, this could go to overtime. But Grand Blanc, it got down to fourth down. Dow did their job holding them, but the kicker made the field goal. Dow wasn't done yet, though. At least they weren't done trying. They got downfield a long way, had a penalty, get some yards back. But in the last second, a pass from a strike that could have possibly gave Dow the win, incomplete. The receiver was not there. Something went wrong. Dow loses 38-35 in what turned out to be a hotly contested game at Midland Community Stadium. What's next for these two? Well, Midland is going to take on Fort Cummingsworth on Thursday evening at 5 p.m. at Northwood Hamp Stadium. Dow High will then take on Lapeer on Thursday evening in Lapeer at 7 o'clock. You'll be able to listen to that game on 1490 AM WMPX. I should actually say sunny 1490, because that's what they call themselves. And I'm very sorry that I made that mistake last week as well, because they've been calling themselves Sunny 1490 AM for a couple years now. Plus, Sunny 1490 is actually easier to say. So, What was I doing? I don't know. Now, it's time for dun 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 dun. That's right. Folks, we are at that time where seasons collide. We're at the corner of summer and pumpkin everything. And guess what else? Maize and blue football at the Big House. Except for the first game of the season will not be at the Big House. So, let's review. Preview Michigan a bit. So, Jim Harbaugh. This is Jim's fourth season at Michigan. He has yet to beat the Buckeyes. He's 1-2 against Michigan State. There are also key games against other schools that he hasn't really won, even though he probably should have won some more of them. And how do they look? Well, let's start by looking at the quarterback position. Shea Patterson, he looks to be a really good quarterback. There's discussion that he could be a Heisman candidate. But there's also such discussion about Brian Luehrke over at Michigan State, which Michigan State is material I will not talk about tonight, because tonight is Michigan Monday this week. So we're sticking to Michigan. And so Shea Patterson did good at Ole Miss, but I think there's better receivers here. So I think it could really help Patterson. I really do. He left Ole Miss as part of that whole crazy scandal. But he's at Michigan. And I think he could do really good. Now, there is an injury we need to talk about, and that is that Malarkey Black, obviously his first name, he has a fractured foot. So he will be out for what they call some weeks. It can be easy to say, okay, you broke a bone, so you'll be in a cast for 6 weeks. You know, that's how it used to be. Of course, with athletes, hard to tell, sometimes less, sometimes more. I think it's safe to say that we will be without Black for a month, at least. And he was supposed to be one of our key wide receivers. He didn't play. He missed a lot of last year, too, because he was injured. I think he could have got us a few more wins. So, that's one thing we need to consider. Black is out currently due to an injury. So, staying healthy in terms of other players will be a big key for Michigan, as they have a very tough schedule. Speaking of which, let's talk about that schedule, which is extremely tough right off the bat, because on Saturday night, they have to go to Notre Dame. They actually have to go on the road and go to Notre Dame in Indiana on Saturday night. And so they're going to have to be ready to go, boom, like that. So that's one game. Also, other key games to think about. Michigan, Wisconsin in Madison. Michigan versus some other team from in Michigan over in another city. Michigan versus that team from that state to the south of us down in, I'm going to say it, down in Columbus, Ohio. I was trying to think of a way to say it without saying Columbus, but I can't. Ohio State does it to us. They'll call us that state up north and other things like that. So I was trying to think of creative ways to name them without saying their name. Unfortunately, I can't do that yet. Maybe sometime later in the season I'll get to do that. But they'll have to do that, like I said, in Columbus, Ohio. And those are what I would call the four key games, all of which are on the road. These are season-defining games. To make the CFP College Football Playoff, which an AP poll has predicted that we will make it in there, in order to make the playoff, that four-team playoff, I think we need to win at least three of these four games, those season-defining games. We must win at least three of them if we want to get in the playoff. And to be honest with you, I think one of them is going to have to be Ohio State. Because I think Ohio State is that most important piece to beat. You want to make the playoff, because even though Urban Meyer is out at Ohio State for the first 3 weeks, I still think Ohio State is loaded this year, as they often are. So you know they're going to make a lot of noise in the Big Ten, as they normally do these days. Still got Wisconsin. Northwest is starting to come alive. So the Big Ten is no slouch this year. It's not. So, oh, and Michigan State with Lewerke, they could be a big noisemaker too. So what I see in the Big Ten East is Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, and possibly Penn State. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. Last year, ended up being one of the best teams. Now, I'm just getting some thoughts together. A lot of the home games we got to play are actually rather easy. And let me be honest with you, when I look at the schedule, I wish that they were playing at very least one of those four games I talked about, and possibly two, at home. For example, 2 years ago, we played Wisconsin at home. I wish that was the case this year. Also, Notre Dame. I wish we could have started that at home, too, because it would have had Michigan in front of our fans at the Big House. I'm going to criticize for something. Why can't Michigan Stadium, you know, on TV and radio, why can't you have it sound like Michigan Stadium, the Big House, is the super loud place that it actually is? Because sometimes I'll watch games that are in there, and it's made to sound kind of quiet. MSU and Larry Lansing sounds louder than Michigan Stadium on TV and radio, to be honest with you. It really does. And so I really wish they could fix that, something with the microphone or whatever it is. Maybe the fans will just have to be louder. But I wish they could play at least two of those really important games at home. But I know the Columbus thing wouldn't be feasible to switch that to home this year, and here's why. None of these could be, but in Columbus, because that is pre-planned out so that it's rotated every year. Last year it was played at the Big House, so this year it's at the Horseshoe in Columbus. It is what it is, so Michigan must make the best of it. With that in mind, it is time to predict Michigan. How many games will they win? How many will they lose? As I think about the schedule, think about their other easier non-league opponents other than Notre Dame, I look and I think they are going to go 10-2. My prediction is that they will probably lose two of those four very important games. To be honest with you, I honestly think one of them is going to be in Columbus. I don't know about the other one. But I'm thinking Michigan will go 10-2. So they'll improve by two wins over what they had last year in the regular season. With a better offense and a still really good defense, because hopefully we can step up our offense from just being okay. Because this is Michigan, and we're the winningest program in football. So Michigan pride, baby. Let's get these wins. And about that press box, like I was saying, restore that roar so that it can sound like the loud place it really is. Because I've heard about that place being loud. Yeah. That'll be part of it. And so I think it's going to be a good year for the Maize and Blue. I think we're going to do some great things, mixed with some disappointment from losing a couple of games that we'll really wish we had won. And I could see the Columbus game and whatever other game they lose being close. I really could. I think they'll be there all season. We got Harbaugh coaching, I'm sure. And I think it's going to be a great year for Michigan. I really do. Now, Saturday's game is at Notre Dame in South Bend. You can listen to the game on, I believe it's AM 790, and not FM 100.5 this game. I'll have to look. I'll let you know tomorrow. Also on 104.9 FM WQBX, I believe, unless one of the stations got changed. I plan to listen to that game. Let me just check how we're doing on time. So, Michigan plays on Saturday in Notre Dame, like I said. Michigan State also plays this weekend. So, I forget where, though, but I will let you know next time. All right. Now, I'm wrapping up for the night. Just want to let you know the Detroit Lions, they were way down in Tampa. I don't mean down like down south. Yes, they were very far south, but I'm talking they were down 27-6 at one point. I ended up shutting it off. And then I found out the next morning that they had won. And I was thinking, man, I wish I didn't shut that radio off. Because it ain't over till it's over. It ain't over until it's over. Jacob Rudolph, he led them on a charge. And they put up over 20 unanswered points. Get down the field, touchdown. Down the field, another touchdown. And they just handed it to them. And they won in Tampa Bay 33-30. And game and week three is dress rehearsal. Unlike week four, which someone tried to tell me was dress rehearsal. And I was talking to them, and I said, no, I believe week three is. I think it's week four. Well, now we know. It's week three. That is dress rehearsal. And to keep in mind, 2 weeks from now, September 10th, is the Lions' first game at home. And I'm excited for the regular season for the Lions this year. I think they're going to do some great things with Matt Patricia. I think it's going to be a good year. I'm excited. I'm happy about it. Now, baseball news. This weekend, the Tigers did lose a series to the Chicago White Sox, including yesterday a 6-1 beatdown by the White Sox. The cool thing is that number three, Alan Crandall, had his jersey retired. He was there for well over 20 years, all the way up to, from like 67 up to 96. Very long time. He was the manager for the Tigers, like 2002 and 2003. We're not going to talk about the record he had because, in 03 in particular, not good. But as a player, he was awesome. He was one of the best shortstops in the major leagues ever. So, very proud of Alan Crane. Very proud of him. And even though I wasn't necessarily around in his glory days, I must be in awe of what he did as a sports caster, as a sports fan. We need to appreciate those who came before us. You know? It's real important. Some of you young people should learn to act well in the sports. Some of you young guys or girls, ask your dad. Ask your mom if she's into sports. Maybe sneak in a question to one of your teachers who might be a sports fan. Hopefully you can find out about some of these great athletes who came before. And hopefully you'll be able to truly appreciate what they did for sports. Because I was alive for Michael Jordan, and I appreciate what he did. I hope that some of the kids now can appreciate what he did. Tiger Woods, even though I'm not much of a golf guy, I appreciate it, what he did. Okay, so with that, folks, hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Football Central. And until tomorrow evening, listeners, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see all of you tomorrow night.